And hello, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Report with your substitute hosts who don't know where the music normally goes. So we're just going to let the music go until it no longer goes anymore. I don't really know how Riley does it. I can't think of it. I should have listened beforehand.
I think he just fades it out at some point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's almost over. So keep it going. That's what I say. I say just dance the night away. Because
hamster dance.
That's what, the hamster dance. And of course, Teresa's fun at parties. We all know that. Hello, everyone. It's the Star Wars Report. I'm not Riley Blanton. My name is Steve Glosson. I am the host of One Geek Out Loud podcast. You can find that as well as Disney Vault Talk, another podcast that I'm privileged to host over at geekoutpodcast.com. And with me, just as last week, is the co-host and the heart and soul of Disney Vault Talk. She's also, you know her from Star Wars Bookworms. She is the eye of the storm of any Star Wars controversy that ever goes on. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely, the talented, the powerful, Teresa Delgado. Hello, Teresa.
Hello, Steve.
And fun at parties, Teresa.
Very.
So let's not forget that. Teresa, right out of the gate, has the storm calmed down any in your life on the Twitter and such as?
It actually has. Now all I get are very positive things, people saying very nice things, people who've listened to all the podcasts I've been on. And then people that have been excited about my new Build-A-Bear and about my Millennium Falcon sandwich and other things.
Now let me ask you this. What was your press junket? What rounds did you do? Where all were you? You were on the Star Wars Report. We broke the news here, by the way, on the Star Wars Report.
We really did.
There were other podcasts who followed up and did not mention you at all in the midst of those controversial things. Looking at you guys, Rebel Force Radio.
Ah, that's okay. They were probably like, dang it, why'd she say that?
She's going to cause us problems.
I know. I was waiting to get an email from Jimmy Matt going, Teresa, don't do stuff like that.
What have you done?
What did you do?
What evil have you wrought on this place? So you also were on Skywalking Through Neverland, I believe?
I was on Skywalking Through Neverland, and that was actually a pretty interesting conversation because we did have somebody who saw the other side of it. And so it was nice having kind of both sides there. Mm-hmm. And then it was also neat that, and I wasn't on the show at this point, but they got a lawyer to kind of break down sort of what the difference is between parody and satire and what is considered, you know, breaking the law and what isn't and where Disney has the right to sue and blah, blah, blah. And it was pretty cool.
Okay. Well, now, and have you guys talked about it on the old Fangirls Going Rogue yet?
Well, we haven't recorded an episode because we're monthly. So right. By the time we record and by the time the show comes out, it won't come out until after D23.
Okay.
Which is like 20 days away. So we're probably going to release an episode towards the end of August. So we'll be recording over the next couple of weeks here. It will have passed way by then.
Sure.
So we're just going to kind of, you know, just fly over it.
Right.
Because I've already said enough, and Trisha posted her response, and me and Sarah got to talk about it on Skywalking. So we've talked it to death. Okay. I was on Radio Free Tatooine also.
Ooh.
And discussed it over there. That was pretty fun. So, you know, I think it's good. We've discussed it. It's run its course. And depending on whether or not Disney decides to sue or not. So, we'll see.
Do you think they will? I don't think they will.
I don't think they will, but I think that they should. They have enough money to be able to do something like that.
They have enough money to waste.
Well, it's not even that. It's that, you know, if they don't sue, then are they sending a message to other publications of, oh, look, you can get away with this? That's one thing, maybe. Or if they don't sue, maybe, you know, they don't feel the fire anymore. You know, it's like a toss-up.
Yeah. I feel like if they sue, we're setting a dangerous precedent, though, for fan films and everything else going down the road. So you got to be careful when you start getting into litigation and legal action.
And I don't think they want a lawsuit on their hands with The Force Awakens coming up. They probably just want to be done with it and just be let's focus on the positive.
Right.
And
I think it'll just be a kind of slap the wrist thing. I don't think you'll see GQ getting any exclusives.
Oh, yeah. You know? GQ has screwed themselves over. They are not getting invited to anything.
Right. So, you know, other than that, I think that'll be the extent of it. But as long as you're not catching any more backlash, that's what matters.
I have on occasion, like today, I think I got one, but it's not like now if I look at my Twitter feed, that's all I get.
Right.
Now it's, you know, back to being pretty much normal, and then the one weirdo who just found the story is like, oh, you suck. Why do you think like that? Why are you alive?
You just send him, just say, please direct all comments to @SteveGlosson. I'll have some fun with some trolls.
Do you have some comments or concerns? Talk to my agent.
@SteveGlosson on the Twitter. So, yeah. Well, it's good to be back with everyone over here at the Star Wars Report Arena. We had a blast last time, Therese, and thanks for all the positive comments as to our hosting duties. We felt like we'd be fired immediately as soon as they heard the audio, but Herleman's letting us do this again. So thank you, Mark Herleman, for letting us be back, and thank you guys for putting up with us for one more week. And then if you want,
Herleman's just like, oh, I have too much other stuff to do right now.
That's right. Well, he also said, hey, what are you guys going to be talking about on the next episode? And I'm like, I have no idea, bro. Have no idea what we're talking about. And we still don't. We're still in a place where we don't really know what's going on. I do want to ask right out of the gate, Teresa, because you've mentioned it already. I want to ask about your Build-A-Bear situation. I saw you tweet that you were going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised with your choice.
Why?
Because of the Build-A-Bear things that I saw, that was my least favorite design with all the Star Wars all over it.
Well, there's only two bears that came out,
mm-hmm.
if you can even call them two bears. There's the bear with the logo on his fur,
right?
And then there's the Chewbacca.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Chewbacca's a lot cuter in person than he looks in the picture, number one.
I like him in the picture. I think he looks very cute.
But he's not my style of stuffed friend.
Okay.
You know, and I like Chewie, but I don't know, it's... like, a stuffed Chewie's weird to me, unless it's like a Hallmark itty-bitty stuffed Chewie. That's really cute. It's totally different. But I really just, I honestly like all kinds of stuffed friends, but I really like bears.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to get the bear. And I actually like all the Build-A-Bears they've done. Like, they have the one with the Captain America logo on it, the Iron Man logo, the Avengers logo, and I've liked those a lot. And so I like this one. And then I got a little bit scared because they made him with real short, short fur.
Right.
Like very smooth fur instead of kind of fluffy where he might have a little bit of fur like around his eyes and give him some character. And mm-hmm. I was kind of like, maybe you're not as cute as I thought you were going to be. And then I have a friend who works at Build-A-Bear, and so I called her, and she was like, I still think he's cute. She's like, they went with the short fur so that the Star Wars logo would be really crisp.
Right.
So I was like, okay. So we went to the store today, and I was looking, and I pulled out maybe like 20 different bear skins. I don't know what else to call them.
Right.
Because the print of the logo is different on all of them. And I was more concerned about what the print was doing around the face.
I gotcha. Yeah.
So I need to have Greg bring Harpsley in here. So I'm going to text him while we're talking. But I ended up going with one that didn't have the logo too close to his, like, to where the yellow wasn't behind one of his eyes.
Right.
Because I felt like that made him look funny. But the one I got, above one eye is the Star Wars logo, the right direction, mm-hmm. like up and down. It's at an angle, but up and down.
Right.
And then over the other eye, it's upside down.
Okay.
So it's kind of cute.
Well, now, don't they also have like some costumes and accessories you could just put on a normal bear?
They have tons. So like I could have just gotten like a normal brown bear and then put a, you know, an outfit on him or something. But I wanted the Star Wars bear because on his feet, on his, I want to say, right foot, it says, "A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away."
That would be his left foot.
Yeah.
I'm
No.
looking at a picture right now. In the picture on his left foot, it says "A long time ago, galaxy
Yeah,
far, far
but you
away."
have to flip him around. Like, if you're looking at him, it's his left foot. But if he's same direction as you, like sitting in your lap,
Right.
it's his right foot.
True story.
And then the
Point.
other foot has Star Wars in yellow.
Right.
And so I honestly just really wanted that bear.
I
And
gotcha.
depending on how you get the logo on their face, I think really makes or breaks it. The only thing complaint I have with it right now is that I think I let them stuff her too much. So she's a little bit too firm. So I'm gonna sleep with her for a week because yes, I do sleep with a stuffed friend. It's twofold. One, it's comforting, and two, I had shoulder surgery, so and I sleep kind of like rolled onto my shoulder, and so I always have it underneath my shoulder to prop my shoulder up,
Right.
just for comfort. And I'm gonna sleep with her for about a week, and then if she doesn't, sort of work out her fluffy problems, I'll take her to back to Build-A-Bear, have them open her up and remove some more fur.
Do a fur reduction or a stuffing reduction.
A stuffing
Do a
reduction.
stuffing reduction. And that's what you got to do. You got to do a stuffing reduction on these things sometimes.
I might have to just in her middle and then maybe a little bit out of her cheeks and her head.
Yeah, well.
Because she's just a little bit too full right now. But she is wearing an R2-D2 hoodie, very similar in style to the Her Universe one that I own. So we're like twins. And then my other bear, Sprinkles, needed a new shirt. Well, okay, actually, my lamb named Marble needed a new shirt. So Sprinkles gave her striped hoodie.
Yeah.
And so Sprinkles needed a new shirt. So Sprinkles got a black Star Wars shirt. It's black, and it's the Star Wars in yellow with little stars on it.
They also have a 10-inch mini Ewok at the Build-A-Bear
They
place.
do. It's cute. It's not as cute as the Disney Store one,
Right.
so I didn't get it. They do have, let's see, the Leia outfit is back. There's the Jedi robes. They've had those before and maybe had them for a while, but they're back.
Right.
Different colors of lightsabers. There's a Darth Vader outfit, which they've had before, but they have it back now.
There's the Han
And there's,
Solo outfit.
yes, and they've had the Han Solo outfit before, but what's different this time is that they actually have a blaster.
Oh.
So to go with it, and they do have Chewbacca's bowcaster,
Wow.
so you have all that that you can choose from. And then, like I said, there's the R2 hoodie and then the Star Wars T-shirt. The R2 hoodie will run you about $10.50, and the Star Wars T-shirt's $7. The Star Wars bear's 25, and I don't remember how much Chewie is, but it's totally worth it to go in there. You can put sounds in them. They
Yeah.
have like all kinds of Star Wars sounds and like the main theme and everything. I didn't get a sound because since I sleep with mine every night, my luck would be I'd roll over and it'd be like
Of
da
course.
da
Right. You don't
like
want to scare yourself to death every time you lean on the bear a little bit.
No.
I'm looking here at the Build-A-Bear workshop, Teresa, and you can actually order them online, which I feel like is cheating. I feel like that's taking all the fun out of it.
Yeah, you don't you're
But
like you don't even get to pick your bear fur.
yeah.
You
But they've
know?
got
Or like how much stuffing you want in him.
that's right.
I gave him a personality. He was playful, happy, and what was the other one? Oh, he was brainy. So he's playful, happy, and brainy.
Okay.
And I gave him a personality on his little heart. So and also really cute when they have you, I don't have you ever made a Build-A-Bear before?
Never. No, 'cause I'm a grown man.
Doesn't matter.
I'm just saying.
You have nephews and nieces and stuff.
Well, they're not to the age where I could be building them bears yet. Or they weren't. I almost did. I almost got one for my little niece down at Disney, where there was somewhere where they were doing the Build-A-Bear stuff. And I just didn't. I didn't have
Well,
time.
so they have you like put the heart to your nose so that he'll always know where you are. Put him to your heart so that he'll love you forever. They'll, do different things. Well, one of the things they did is they had me put the heart on my forehead so that he would be able to use the force.
Oh, See, I don't want to do that. I just want to build the bear and get out of there.
Well, I'm sure for you, they would just say, here's the heart. Go ahead and stick it in there. But for me,
Ahead, just stick it right in, sir.
because they after they fluff it up, they have you put the heart inside. Because they do a couple of things before they have a little tag that they tear off that has a barcode on it. They fold it up, they stick it inside, then you stick the heart inside. And the reason being, and when you put your name in, when you name the bear and everything, you put your address in and everything because it ties that barcode to you.
All right.
So if someone ever found your bear and actually took it back to a Build-A-Bear, which, I mean, how many people would really do that?
I don't know.
But they took it back to a Build-A-Bear store, they could open them up, get the little tag out, scan it, and find out who it belongs to, and contact them to return it. So
I hope people would do that.
I would hope
I
so.
really am digging this Chewie. I like the little Chewie guy. And I dig the little Ewok as well. I think those are cute. I would have to see, like, your Star Wars fur. I'd have to see that up close. Just to
He
kind
was definitely something I had to see up close, or she was,
of.
and I'm still getting used to her, but she's very happy to be home. And it took me a long time to come up with a name. I put it out on Twitter. Some people came up with some good ones. Darth McFluffles was one of them. But see, and he wasn't fluffy. Like if he had fluffy fur, maybe Darth McFluffles.
Darth McStuffins.
Darth McStuffins. There was Pooh Dameron.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
But there's only one Pooh Bear, so I can't do
My
that.
loyalty.
Clever. While it is, Trisha Barr wanted me to call him War Kit so that
Ooh.
he could be friends with Kit War.
Okay. And also a weird pronunciation of wicket.
I, for a while, thought if it was going to be a boy, I might name him Kerfuffle. But then I changed my mind.
Okay.
And it's a girl, and her name is Harpsley.
Why Harpsley?
H for Hera, A for Ahsoka, R for Rey, P for Padme, S for Sabine, L for Leia, and then to make it a name, an E and a Y.
Okay. I bet we could find some ladies' E's and Y's in Star Wars.
I don't know. I tried thinking about it and I couldn't figure it out. So, yeah,
Yaddle.
Harpsley just
Y
came
could
in
be for
here.
Yaddle. The
No.
girl Yoda.
Weird.
Why?
I don't know.
Why are you hating on Yaddle right now?
I don't hate
She is
Yaddle.
a hero of women and Yoda critters everywhere. I don't know what his species is unknown.
I have Harpsley here right now. I keep like squeezing her arms and her legs and her tummy, thinking like maybe if I squeeze her enough, she'll soften up some.
Right. You gotta beat her.
I gotta beat
You got
her.
I am bound and determined to find a lady name that starts with E for Star Wars, because there has to be, right? There has to be.
You think so?
Yeah. So anyhow, so you're not happy with your purchase because they overstuffed it. You don't like fat bears.
Well, it's my fault because I think I said it wrong. Like I didn't want him to be like floppy, and I didn't want him to be so firm that like he just stood up by himself. So I said medium, and then I said but still huggy. But then it kind of turned out like this, and then they kept taking a lot of fluff out, and I felt bad because there was two people behind me waiting to have their bear stuffed. So I was like, that's okay, it's good, I'll take it that way. And then I've been like, So I probably just need to take it. then
Guys,
just say,
hi guys,
this is
I'm
way
back.
too fluffy. Can you please take a bunch of that out?
Guys, I'm back, and I just wanted to say, could we lose some weight? That's all I'm asking. Just lose some weight. I'm at the Wikipedia right now looking for female individuals. And oh, the ease. There's Juno Eclipse. That's a last name.
Oh, Eclipse.
Yeah, you could name her for that. I don't see anyone else I'm really familiar with.
I'm looking
Lot of
to.
lot of expanded universe here, I believe.
Well, I would assume that would be where they would come from, because I was thinking and I couldn't think of
I see
many.
an Aloha, Alora, Ellen.
I mean, I don't want him to have a dude name, but there's Ezra. Is this supposed to be a girl bear?
I'm looking at straight up females right now.
Oh, how'd you do that?
I just Googled Star Wars female names, and then it took me to a Wikipedia category of female individuals.
Star Wars female names.
Insa, April, Arafa. Now I feel like I'm talking in Willow talk now. Insa, April, Arafa. That's how... there were some weird magic words in that. In that... Zornethu. Yeah. I love Esla.
Essenton. I don't know who any of these people are.
Essor is a Twi'lek.
Who's Elora? Elora.
Elora. I go to Elora Dan, and immediately I went to Willow when I saw that. Elora. Elora Dannon! She was a female human who lived on Manon during the Jedi Civil War. She's a longtime wife of crippled former Galactic Republic soldier and war hero Sunri. I think she is from the Old Republic era. She appears if the player has Jolie in the party and they've met with Davin Kotras in Starport after landing on a planet. Knights of the Old Republic. Boom. Which, Knights of the Old Republic 2 is getting a revival, Therese. I don't know if you ever played the Knights of the Old Republic or the...
I never did, because I didn't have an Xbox or okay. whatever.
Yeah. Knights of the Old Republic 2 is getting some type of return for PCs and that sort of thing. And it's being done so that if you have an emulator where you can plug in a control pad for an Xbox or even a PS3 or 4, you can use those things and play the game. They've got new achievements for it and everything. And I was reading the article I was reading. They said it was heralded as one of the best stories ever. And I liked the first one better than I liked the second one. The second one I wasn't too thrilled with. But the first one was really great, Knights of the Old Republic. So that's coming back. Well, congratulations on your Build-A-Bear. I hope that it ends up being a happy circumstance for you. And
me too. I just texted my friend and she said for me to bring him by tomorrow or bring her by tomorrow and she'll take stuff out.
They'll do some surgery.
Yeah.
Well, that's sweet. That's sweet of them to take care of you that way, Teresa.
They do it for everybody.
It's good to have friends in high places.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the Force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like.
Did you hear Michael Jackson talk about the Force right there?
Hey, I did. I was like, whoa, this is not the song I'm used to.
Mm-mm. It's Michael Jackson, son. A little Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Michael Jackson, it's being finally reported, wanted to play Jar Jar Binks in the Star Wars prequels.
That's interesting.
Yep. Ahmed Best had an interview with Vice, and he told him that, here's the quote. That's what George Lucas told me. He said, me, Natalie Portman, and George's kids were at Wembley Arena in Michael Jackson's concert. We were taken backstage and we met Michael. There was Michael and Lisa Marie. George introduced me as Jar Jar, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And Michael was like, oh, okay. I thought, what's going on? After Michael had driven off, we all go back to a big after party, and I'm having a drink with George, and I said, why did you introduce me as Jar Jar? He said,
Michael wanted to do the part. But he always wanted to do it in prosthetics and makeup, like Thriller.
George wanted to do it in CGI. My guess is ultimately Michael Jackson would have been bigger than the movie, and I don't think he wanted that. So Jar Jar, as performed by Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but I don't know. Only thing I've ever seen Michael Jackson act in is Captain EO at Disney World.
Yeah, well, he was in The Wiz. He played the Scarecrow.
Yeah, I didn't ever see The Wiz.
This
is a weird version of Wizard of Oz. I don't understand.
It was very poorly shot as well. But ease on down the road. I can't stop jamming this song. But I'll stop.
Because it's a great song.
I mean, what would that have looked like, Michael Jackson as Jar Jar? In
Because I can't even think what it would look like in prosthetics.
Hey! Mooey Mooey, you saved my life. I'm your humble servant. That won't be necessary. But it is. Ow! Demanded by the gods it is.
Oh, dear.
Oh, sticky, sticky goo.
Shimon.
Shimon. Sticky, sticky goo. Mm. Oh, man. Yeah, Michael Jackson as Jar Jar Binks. I think the physical comedy would have been cool. You know, he'd have broken out into some dance steps every now and again when they started shooting at him.
Doing the moonwalk.
Doing the moonwalk. He's got, Misa no got no boomba. Boom, boom, boom. And then he just moonwalks through the droids and starts slinging the boombas around.
See, but Michael Jackson couldn't have been Jar Jar because Jar Jar was very uncoordinated and just sort of goofy as all get out.
Yeah.
Michael's too smooth.
He does have,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got street savoir-faire.
Oh! Oh, does he? Does he have the street savoir-faire?
He does.
I just think that, I think that Ahmed made a great point that he would have been bigger than the movie. And George Lucas didn't want that at all. Now, they did actually film in episode two. I heard Lance Bass? No, Joey Fatone. On a podcast talking with some guys, and he said they actually went and filmed their scenes as Jedis that some of the guys from NSYNC did.
Yeah, they did. The NSYNC guys are in there.
They're not in there. It was cut from the film because of Screen Actors Guild stuff. Yeah, it wasn't in there.
But it's in there in the director's cut.
It's not in the director's cut.
It's in the cut that I want to see.
Okay. But anyhow, so they were there and they did their thing. So, but they were just background characters.
Bye bye.
Yeah, they all went in sync and started doing. Oh,
they all did in the background.
Yeah, they started doing their dance moves as their Jedi moves. So, Joey Fatone actually had his garage done up like a Fortress of Solitude, like with the ice crystals and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did NSYNC ever do a song with Michael Jackson?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think Timberlake might have worked with him once, like at an event or something.
I feel like one of the boy bands did something.
I couldn't tell you. Usher might have one time.
Ooh, Usher.
Usher. I think that this is just a case where, no, it would have been bigger than the movie. And, of course, Jar Jar's like, all right, I want to do in prosthetic makeup. But Lucas really wanted to push the CGI thing forward. And I saw an interesting thing on Netflix. They've got a series of episodes of a show, The Best Directors Ever, The Greatest Directors Ever. And one of them centers around George Lucas.
I saw that.
And they're interviewing him, and he said something really interesting. He says, art has always been technology. Technology is always, you know, art has always pushed technology. He's like, even as far back as cave paintings. You know, where they're just drawing antelopes in black charcoal. If you give them orange charcoal, then suddenly that opens a whole new world of possibilities for how they draw.
Whole new world.
That's right. And so the idea, you know, his idea of filmmaking was we develop new technology to more completely tell the story. And so it's just really cool to hear him talk that way about what he did with the prequels and what he did, you know, and how he was. And he was always someone who pushed the technology. He pushed the medium. And in this case, you know, he didn't want to go backwards. He wanted to try to go forward and make a fully realized digital character in Jar Jar. How do you feel about Jar Jar Binks, Teresa? Surely you must love him.
I quite like Jar Jar Binks.
Okay.
I always have thought that he was funny. And I always just thought it was really, really cute. And I have quoted forever, Yusuf follow me now, okie day.
Okie day.
Lisa,
follow me now, okay, day.
And I never had a problem with him. You know, every now and then I'm like, God, you're dumb. You know, like when he sticks his tongue in the energy binders.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
My tongue is stuck. And I'm stuck.
And he just gets flustered. He's like, my tongue is stuck. and I am stuck with. Yeah. And when he's like, when Gungan's in trouble, they go to sacred place. Come on, Misa, show you. Come on.
Misa, show you.
So I always liked Jar. I never had a problem with Jar Jar.
I thought he just had overall good intentions.
Yeah.
Always.
He really worked well in the Clone Wars. His stuff with 3PO, or C-3PO as he kept calling him, in the episodes on Rodia there, and then in the last season, he and Mace Windu, perfection. And I know you don't like Mace.
Well.
But what worked great with that is that, you know, he is the complete opposite of everything that Mace Windu was.
I do like Mace Windu. That's the problem. Why did Mace have to make me be so angry at him?
Well, don't give
him
the anger.
He was amazing because he has a purple lightsaber, but then he has to go and do dumbo things.
Dumbo things?
Well, we're talking about Jar Jar Binks. The word like dumbo sounds like something that Jar Jar would say.
Dumbo.
That's all. Oh, me, Maxie bid the Force.
What's your... Oh, you do have... Oh, yes! I remember this! When they... This was from the MTV Awards in 2001.
Yep.
He just came out and danced with him, though. But he didn't really sing with him or anything.
That's okay.
Which is really cool.
Who cares? It's Michael Jackson.
Yeah, it was
I'll watch Michael Jackson dance all day long.
It was really cool to see him come out that time. I don't know. I would have... There's part of me that wishes they would have at least done some screen tests with Michael Jackson as Jar Jar Binks.
That would have been
so
cool.
So that we have that to see.
And then there's... Where the Jacksons and NSYNC do Dancing Machine from Michael Jackson's 30th anniversary.
Oh, well.
I can get this for you.
One of the greatest...
See, here's the thing. Do you like Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Like his music and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
See, I love Michael Jackson, and I love the Jacksons. I love everything about Michael Jackson, and so I went to the Cirque du Soleil show because I just love Michael Jackson.
This was the show. This wasn't a Michael Jackson 30th anniversary celebration. This was like a Motown celebration or a Jackson celebration. It wasn't just Michael. But this was the show where he comes out to do Billie Jean, and he just walks out on a dark stage and. He's carrying a... Oh, here they come. NSYNC and Michael Jackson. Star Wars royalty, guys. Or almost Star Wars royalty. She knows what she's doing. She's super bad now. She's scared to really blow your mind. But he came out with just a briefcase. And he's saying a word, and he just sets it on the stool, and he snaps, and a light comes on.
Is this that one?
And yes, it's that same special. And he opens up the briefcase, and he pulls out a hat, and everybody goes nuts.
Maybe that's what this is right
and then,
here.
And then he pulls out a glove, and everyone, the roof blows off the place. And then he closes the briefcase and he puts it down. He snaps again and another spotlight hits the floor. And then...
Oh, that's what this is right here.
Yeah, it's amazing. It'll give you chills to watch.
So awesome.
Yeah.
But didn't he do the moonwalk for the first time on like a Motown thing in the 80s?
Yes. That was the first time.
But this is
a different
thing,
right? It was on
right?
television. Yeah, this is a complete... This is that same special that you're just watching. And so the reason the roof blew off the place is because he pulls out the glove and he's got the look and everything of the whole Billie Jean situation. And it was just, people just went nuts because it's like, oh my gosh, we're about to watch Michael Jackson do Billie Jean.
Oh, look, he's putting on a jacket.
Yeah, see? So anyhow, I didn't realize. I didn't realize NSYNC had come out of the same special. And so there you go. It's almost Star Wars royalty together at the 30th anniversary celebration of, not Motown, I guess it was the Jacksons.
Yeah. Did you see J.C. Chazé's red sparkly pants?
I sure did not.
Oh, J.C.
And I don't know. We've exhausted this story now because now we're talking about general pop culture and that sort of thing. I think Michael Jackson.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, NSYNC, all pop culture, Star Wars pop culture, boom.
Yeah. Well, Jackson was a huge Star Wars fan.
See, I never knew that.
Yeah. In fact, Carrie Fisher talks about going to his house for Christmas one year and actually dressing up as Princess Leia and doing the whole message to Obi-Wan for them. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. Oh, doing it for his kids. Yeah. So him and his kids, huge Star Wars fans. Michael Jackson loved it. That's why he was so keen to do things like Captain EO.
Yeah.
You know, and if you watch a lot of his videos, especially you take the Thriller, I remember Black or White was one, Smooth Criminals one, but they were movie like productions that he liked to do because he was so taken by not just Star Wars but also cinema and film and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, he was a performer like no one else. He really was. Just fantastic.
Never understood why he always wears high waters, but all right. He's Michael Jackson.
So that he don't trip over his pant legs while he's getting down. Watch him get down. He's a dancing machine.
Oh, glove time. Sorry.
You gotta stop.
I just have to watch it now.
You gotta stop.
All right.
You gotta quit now. You gotta calm down. We gotta come back to Star Wars here.
Well, you know what? Now I think I really would have liked it.
Yeah. She's dancing. Misa dancing machine. Misa beat it. Billie Jean knows my lover.
Oh, okay.
She's not just a girl that says I'm the one.
Now you have to say Dirty Diana.
Misa talking to the man in the mirror. Misa telling him to change his ways.
Oh,
Yusa right. Been struck by a smooth criminal.
You do that really good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. If Build-A-Bear ever sells a Jar Jar Binks, they better sell it with a sparkly white glove and a black hat.
Yes, yes. Also, send all Photoshop Jar Jar Binks pictures doing Michael Jackson type things to @SteveGlosson on Twitter. I'll gladly accept those.
And @IceColdPenguin.
Speaking of mashups in the Star Wars universe, Teresa, really quickly, it's just worth checking out, everybody. Over at IGN, there's an article where you can see where some Japanese rice farmers created a Star Wars mural in their rice paddy. They used 11 different types of rices to get a lot of colors, very detailed. They've got the Star Wars logo in the middle, and then on one side there's BB-8, and on the other side there's R2-D2 and 3PO. It's incredibly, incredibly detailed in this rice field. It's something to look at. So it's worth checking out. I just mentioned that because it's worth checking out, and it has nothing to do with Michael Jackson or Jar Jar Binks. So... the only other thing, Teresa, we've seen this week that I think is really worth bringing up. Well, let's get to the casting rumors first. There's, The Wrap is reporting that, Disney Lucasfilm is in talks with Benicio del Toro.
Benicio del Toro.
To be the villain of episode 8. Now,
I don't need to know he's going to be the villain.
I'm sorry.
Benicio del Toro.
Now, he has a relationship with an arm of Disney right now, as he's been the collector in Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is known for playing bad guys. And I think that's why people are assuming the villain. I should say they're assuming. All the rumors are they're assuming the villain. This is just rumors. We're not even episode 7 yet. But you have to imagine if episode 8 is scheduled to be out in 2 years, that they're already deep in pre-production and casting and everything else on it. I mean, like, they'll probably be going to film spring, you think?
I don't know, probably. I really don't have any concept for how long it takes people to make a film.
Okay, good.
So, you know, well, whenever good. They do it.
Right, okay.
That'd be good.
Well, I believe episode 8 is scheduled for release. They may be trying to get back to the May releases with episode 8. I know at one point they're saying they're going to do that. But it could be just December 2 years from now. May 26, 2017 right now is the scheduled release date for Star Wars Episode 8. And that would be, yeah, just a little less than 2 years from this time. So they need to have a script in place. They should probably already be doing casting and everything. And what's great about having these anthology films happen and Star Wars just going boom, 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 hitting us pretty hard is it kind of takes away the focus from what's going on. You know, in the past, when we were building up the Star Wars movies, Teresa, we had a 3-year buildup. You saw episode 1, and suddenly we were all talking about episode 2, so every little scrap of news that came out from episode 2 was online, and people were dissecting it and picking it apart. Well, now they're kind of able to fly a little bit under the radar with some of this stuff. You have to imagine most of the cast is in place with people like Daisy Ridley and John Boyega and Oscar Isaac Poe. Isn't that how you say it? Poe. Poe Dameron. And so you have to imagine most of the casting is in place, and they'll probably want to shore up a few more characters. But the script should be kind of in the process of almost getting done. Pre-production should be happening right now. You know, model work, character work, all kinds of stuff going on for episode 8 that we don't really think about, because instead of looking ahead now to episode 8, really we're still in the throes of bring us the next trailer for episode 7. And if we're looking past episode 7 at all, we're looking at Rogue One. You know, we're excited about this first anthology film, Rogue One. And so episode 8, though it's just going to be right around the corner from Rogue One, we're all kind of like, oh yeah, I guess there is another Star Wars of the enumerated films coming out at some point. So, I'm really not familiar with too much else that Benicio del Toro's done. I know that he has a very prolific career. I know he's an incredible actor, but he's just kind of always stayed just outside my genre.
Me too. I've only seen, other than Guardians, I've only seen one other thing that he's in. Well, I mean, I've seen Sin City, but I don't remember who he was in Sin City. I know he's in there.
Right.
But I saw The Wolfman, and so I remember him from that.
Mm-hmm. The what man?
Wolfman? It's a, like a werewolf story about the original werewolves.
A were what?
A werewolf.
Wolf?
You know.
A werewolf.
A werewolf.
There you go. You did it.
Wolf.
Hooray. Now, what does Crayola make?
Crayons.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. So we'll keep our eyes. We'll keep our
ears.
What
do you drink out of the faucet?
Water. Water.
Water.
Water. We'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for more news of episode 8, but you won't hear it from us here. You'll hear it from Riley and gang. Finally, Teresa, you linked me over here to JediNews.co.uk.
See.
Has an article up with some potential from DeviantArt, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Where someone,
some artist from DeviantArt that did something on DeviantArt.
It's a shot of Tatooine with Jabba's palace done up with a few other towers to look like a Disney castle. It's got the Disney logo on it and a ray of light over that particular castle. It's a really cool piece of art. There's even a shadow of the Disney logo in the sand.
Pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. And the artist is Umbridge 1986.
Right. So that's his given name. That's the name that his parents gave him at birth. which leads me, Teresa, to have a quick discussion with you here on about what we may see, to dream a little bit and to think forward a little bit to Star Wars Episode 7, these new Star Wars movies that are coming out are going to be the first non-independent Star Wars films ever made. All the other movies, for all intents and purposes, all the other Star Wars films were basically independent films. Lucasfilm did them in-house. They got distribution through Fox, of course. But other than that, you know, it was all George Lucas and his company. This time around, Disney, you know, has bought the company. We all know the story. And there's been a lot of speculation by a lot of people, knowing that we won't have the Fox fanfare, because, of course, Fox isn't going to distribute these with the corporation of Disney and their distribution power. They're not going to be looking to use anyone else to distribute. And so the Fox fanfare had for so long become such a huge part of what Star Wars is for so many of us. In fact, it's included on a lot of the soundtracks. Yep. In the first Star Wars soundtrack I ever bought, which was just I don't even know what this is. It was a CD. The first one I ever personally bought for myself was a CD of Star Wars music, and it was done by the Utah Symphony Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And even it opens with the 20th Century Fox fanfare. All of those special edition soundtracks open with the 20th Century Fox fanfare. And so it's kind of become ingrained, and a lot of people are like, it just won't feel like Star Wars without that 20th Century Fox fanfare. There's a lot of people saying that we'll see that Disney logo up front. Now, do you think we'll see the Disney logo up front?
Well, here's the thing. We've seen a lot of different iterations of the Disney logo. The Marvel movies still do the Marvel opening, mm-hmm. with like the comics and stuff. Right. And it says Marvel in front of it. My guess is we will for sure have the green Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had that on the trailers. That's something we should probably look at, is the Force Awakens trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can kind of maybe give us a little bit of a clue. And I'm curious also on the opening of the Marvel films, because I haven't actually sat and looked at it.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you. You ask and I can tell you for sure.
Like, from the opening, let's say, of like the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
do they have Disney anywhere other than it saying Marvel?
Okay, in the first Avengers?
Any Marvel movies.
Okay, well, you got to understand the timeline, first of all. Marvel was was already into the cinematic universe before Disney bought them.
Right, so wherever it marks, okay. Disney buying them.
So after Avengers, they stopped, after Iron Man 3, they stopped having Paramount at the beginning, because there was still distribution deals with Paramount in place with Marvel and Marvel Studios. After that, you had Thor the Dark World, and Thor the Dark World was the first Marvel Studios film wherein, as the trailers stop rolling, right, the screen goes black, and what comes up is that Marvel, the new Marvel Studios logo that was more of a 3D thing, and this music. And so I've been saying since Thor, this has been me, Teresa, since Thor, I've been saying, because we saw that, we're not, and you don't see a Disney logo in it before it. And I've been saying because of that, we won't see a Disney logo before the Lucasfilm logo. That's what I've been saying.
Oh, sorry. I don't think we will either, but to be fair, the Marvel films don't really have like a precedent, kind of like the Star Wars films have, with that production company intro into the actual intro of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have that history. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Right.
But if we were to look at the trailer for, let's say, the second teaser trailer,
okay. mm-hmm.
of The Force Awakens. So yes. I have it playing right now.
Mm-hmm. As do I.
And we just get that silvery Lucasfilm logo.
Sure.
I think we'll either get that or the green Lucasfilm logo and probably nothing else.
Okay. And you bring a great point about, don't most Disney films at the beginning of their trailers just do a quick shot of that Disney Castle logo?
So let's see. Let's pick one. Let's pick Frozen.
Okay.
So
you pick Frozen. I'll pick Tomorrowland.
Okay.
Which is a more recent one.
Live action versus animated. Mm-hmm. Clever. All right. So I have Frozen's playing right now.
Okay. I have Tomorrowland. Right now we're at the appropriate audience. And boom. Yeah. Disney logo right at the beginning.
Okay, so for the animated one, no logo. It just goes straight into the images from the film.
Wow. I'm pulling up a Tron Legacy trailer now to go a little bit further back in time. Got to get back in time. Disney logo.
And then it goes to it at about the 28-second mark, but it is a little bit different because they have the snow falling. See, the thing they do for different Disney movies is they change the way that it looks. So I don't know how it looked for Tomorrowland, but it might have been in those orange hues.
No, it was just your typical Disney like logo. And then Tron would have actually went a little digitized when you saw it. Big Hero 6, I'm coming up right now. Disney logo, regular Disney logo before the trailer goes on.
Big Hero 6 trailer.
It's kind of a quick shot of it. I'll even go to Wreck-It Ralph for you. My point is this, is that in these Disney movies, now Wreck-It Ralph starts with the video game.
Okay, but my point is
in these Disney, these things that are from Disney Studios, from Walt Disney Studios, be it animation or live action, that we see in there at the 28-second mark in the Wreck-It Ralph trailer is the Disney logo. We see that.
See, and
Disney
that was
logo.
The same place with Frozen.
Right.
I'm looking at the Pirates of the Caribbean: Curse of the Black Pearl.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one to look at because that goes back to when 2003.
Yes. And so far, nothing. And I'm about 25 seconds in.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if it pops up while we're talking. I think they're going to do definitely the Lucasfilm thing, but they may do something different with the Lucasfilm thing to kind of make it a little bit longer because the intro to the Marvel movies is kind of longer.
Well, let me submit this to you. Have you watched the... have you seen their treatment of the digital versions that came to iTunes and such as?
No, I haven't.
Okay, all of them, with the exception of A New Hope, the original Star Wars has the Fox fanfare in front of it because Fox still has, I think Fox has the distribution rights of that forever, right? But all the others, no Fox fanfare. It just starts out with a Lucasfilm logo and what has been dubbed a Lucasfilm fanfare. If this thing will load here on mine, I will play it for you really quickly.
And I think that's what we'll get. We're not going to have a Fox fanfare. That's just not going to happen.
So that's what you get. You get the Lucasfilm, that green outline, and it fills in with the silver and gold as that fanfare is playing. Then as it goes to black, that fanfare ends. It comes up a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Now, that fanfare is just music taken from the end of... Oh, sorry. Whoa.
Yes.
That music is just taken from the end of Empire in the end credits, and it's just kind of spliced together. We actually hear that in the trailer... in the second of the Force Awakens trailers, Teresa, we hear a little bit of that stuff, that bum, ba-da, bum, ba-da, you know, that kind of thing. At what part do we hear that come up? When she reaches down and grabs his hand, I think.
I don't know, but I'm so excited now.
Why is that?
Is it December?
Not yet. Here it is. But see, it's that
what
same...
if they did something like that with some blaster noises and some things like that?
I don't think they need all that. I think that the orchestral. I hope they have a different thing that's not just basically copy and pasted waveforms of that original music. You know, I hope they come up with a little bit different Lucasfilm fanfare. But I think that orchestral stuff will be fine. I think it sets the tone just right for going into that main title, that moment of silence of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then just blasting right into that main title.
What did they do for the Muppets?
That is a good question. I think the Disney thing was there. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure the Disney.
Oh, yep.
The Disney logo was there because they've been a part of Disney for a while now.
That's true. True dat.
Yeah.
idea why I said that.
Now, speaking of episode 7, Teresa, as we get ready to close out, because we've been going forever, and I know people are probably tired of hearing us drone on and on about stuff and speculating and everything else. I was fortunate enough to get my first piece of episode 7 merchandise.
Woohoo!
It was the 6-inch Black Series First Order Stormtrooper from San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, that's cool, but you didn't go to San Diego Comic-Con.
I sure didn't. My good friend Eris Schernevice picked it up for me and made sure that I did not go without. And I thank him deeply and greatly because I love it. There's a booklet that comes with it that kind of tracks the history of the armor.
Oh, cool.
From the Clone Trooper to the First Order Stormtrooper. And he got the artist of that to sign that for me and everything. And so, good stuff. And I want to thank Eric for that. But I'm not the only one who didn't go to Comic-Con but got Comic-Con swag.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, my good friend Eric Schernevice got me the...
Wait a second. I have a friend named Eric Schernevice.
Me too.
What a coincidence, weird. Yeah. You think
does yours work for Delray Publishing?
I'm not able to disclose that.
Oh, well, then we'll never know if it's the same one. Is yours your brother from another mother?
That's right. You better believe it. He can also be heard on multiple episodes of Geek Out Loud and Star Wars Rebel Yell over on the
In
Disney
a segment
Vault Talk
feeds. Called
Pass the Corn. But on Rebel Yell, he's just heard breaking down Star Wars Rebels with us.
As part of the Jedi Council.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got me the Hallmark Itty Bitty Comic-Con exclusive. This is actually an exclusive for New York Comic-Con and San Diego. So if you missed out on it from San Diego, they will have some at New York Comic-Con as well. If you don't know what Itty Bitties are, shame on you.
I don't know what Itty Bitties are.
I've sent you pictures of Itty Bitties.
I know, but I'm just saying I don't know who makes them or where they're from.
Hallmark.
Hallmark makes them, okay.
Hallmark makes them. They're exclusive to Hallmark. They're Hallmark products. They're about 1, 2, 3, maybe about 4 inches tall. They're little plush figures that stand up. They have some beans in their bottom so that they stand up straight. And the Comic-Con exclusive was Boba Fett.
They have beans in their bottom. That's a fun turn of phrase.
Boba Fett, and he came with a Han and Carbonite.
Nice.
And it's really, really cute. And I just really adore it. And it's cool because in the side where the panel of information are of the Carbonite,
right,
there's a little green one, like a little green rectangle to show that he's frozen, like he's on.
Oh,
you know?
Nice. That's cool.
So, it's pretty neat, and they have little badges on them that say 2015 Comic Convention Exclusive, and it's the same as the ones from Celebration Anaheim have a little badge on them that say Star Wars Celebration 2015, and I think the ones from San Diego last year, hang on, have, yep, same thing. 2014 comic convention exclusive. So, very cute. Very, very cute. And I wanted to thank him because they are amazing. And Hallmark stores aren't getting the Haunting Carbonite. Next year, or in 2016, we'll be getting Boba Fett, but by himself.
Oh, so the actual exclusive is the Carbonite. Just like Hasbro did that with the 6-inch Black Series, I think last year. They did a Boba Fett with a Haunting Carbonite. And then they released Boba Fett in the 6-inch series, but not the Carbonite thing.
Right, and I mean, they may change it up a little bit, because Hallmark does do some things where they'll change, like, the bottom maybe a different color, or, like, they'll adjust the coloring. The cool thing about the Boba Fett one is it has a little, like, his jetpack is, like, a little piece of cloth that looks like the jetpack, and it's sewn on to his back. So, like, the little edges are free. It's really cute.
Nice. Well, Teresa, really quickly, before we go, have you played with the Star Wars app?
I have.
How fun is the little force trainer thing?
Really cool.
Yes.
I like the selfie thing.
The selfie thing is funny. I like the weather. When you set your location, it gives you the weather. Like right now where I'm at, it's 84 and feels like Kashyyyk.
Well, mine is 92, and it feels like Yavin 4.
That's what mine normally says. It feels like Yavin 4 where I'm at, because usually during the day we're hitting the mid-90s, upper 100s. Mm-hmm. So there's also a nice little countdown clock there on the old app, which is telling me that right now we are 144 days at the time of this recording away from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. So plenty of time to plan with your friends, with your family. With your work, to take off.
Yes, yeah, specifically with your work.
And make sure you're in a theater somewhere on December 18th for, oh my gosh, a movie that I can't wait for, Teresa.
Well, you and me both, sister, brother.
Yeah, I'm a brother, not a sister. Get it right. Hey, thanks so much to Riley and the crew at Star Wars Report for letting Teresa and I sit in these past couple of weeks. We've had a blast. I've had a blast.
Woo!
I don't know about Teresa. I just know Teresa's fun at parties.
I've had a blast.
So,
Star Wars Report party.
Yeah, we don't get to talk Star Wars enough, Teresa.
No, we don't.
So it was good to talk Star Wars. Your regularly scheduled host will be back soon. Mark Herleman is going to be taking back over hosting duties on the next Star Wars Report. Find out all the information for emails and Twitters and that sort of thing for the Star Wars Report at StarWarsReport.com. If you want to get in touch with myself or Teresa, you can do so. I'm on Twitter at Steve Glosson. Teresa?
I am at on everything at Ice Cold Penguin.
And and that includes, for Teresa, the Star Wars Card Trader app.
Yes.
For iPhone and Android devices. And on that app, I'm SteveG125. Come trade with me. If you send me a trade, send a message. Let me know that you listened to us on the Star Wars Report,
please.
So I'll know to add you as a friend.
Please do.
I am hoarding Max Rebo.
I am hoarding any and all Ewok cards and the base 2 Ewoks.
So, having said that, man, good times. Check us out, me and Teresa. You can check Teresa out at Star Wars Bookworms right here on the Star Wars Report. But you can also check us out at Disney Vault Talk. You can find Disney Vault Talk by heading over to geekoutpodcast.com. We're going through the films of the Disney, the animated films right now of the Walt Disney Studios. And coming up, we'll be doing Oliver and Company, correct?
Yes. So I just watched it today.
So looking forward to talking to Oliver and Company. I'd appreciate it. If you haven't already, check out Geek Out Loud, which you can also find at geekoutpodcast.com. There's a whole slew of podcasts over at geekoutpodcast.com and a network we like to call the Gullivers. That's right. So check us out over there, geekoutpodcast.com. Thanks again so much for putting up with us for a couple of weeks. Until the next time we see you guys on the Star Wars Report, I'm Steve.
And I'm Teresa. May the Force be with you.
And also with you. We'll see you next... Well, we won't see you next time. Bye forever!
Bye!
Until they let us come back. That song is like the Rocky music in Star Wars had a baby. When that one single trumpet kicks in, it reminds me of the trumpet solo on that Rocky song, Gonna Fly Now.
Yeah.